author and aviator Richard Bach is critically injured flying an experimental amphib. The Hopper's jet team loses its newest member as an L-39 goes down. And American Airlines and its pilots need to settle their differences. This is Aero News from Monday, September 3rd, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. Aviation author Richard Bach was critically injured Saturday in an approach to landing accident while flying an amateur-built experimental Sea Ray amphib that he purchased earlier this year. According to media reports, Bach went down while approaching a grass strip on San Juan Island and caught power lines with the gear. Bach's injuries required his removal to Seattle, where he is under care of physicians at Harborview Medical Center. Media reports indicate that Bach is in critical but stable condition, with little additional medical detail other than reports of his suffering a head injury and a broken shoulder. The aircraft's impact was considerable, and the bird was found upside down about 2 miles from Friday Harbor. Several of the power poles supporting the lines the aircraft hit were pulled down, and a small grass fire ensued. Bach, 76, is the author of some of the aviation world's favorite books, especially Jonathan Livingston Seagull and Illusions, The Adventures of a Reluctant Messiah. A longtime pilot, Bach has extensive experience in a number of piston and jet-powered aircraft and purchased the Sea Ray this year after an extensive checkout at the Progressive Aerodyne headquarters in Tavares, Florida. James Bach, Richard's son, said that his father was flying solo and that he and his doctors are hopeful for a full recovery. The Hopper's jet team lost the newest member of its team after the crash of an L-39 Albatross jet aircraft Saturday at the 2012 Quad City Air Show in Iowa. The accident occurred approximately 13:25 local time. The pilot has been identified as Glenn A. Smith, 58, of Frisco, Texas. Smith had more than 20 years flying experience, and besides the L-39, he also flew a PT-17 Stearman, a T-37 Tweet, a MiG-17, and a Super Cub. He was also director of the Warbird Education Foundation that owned the L-39 Albatross. According to Davenport's Assistant Police Chief Don Schaefer, the aircraft was making a 45-degree bank and failed to recover before impact. The impact was catastrophic, was followed by a large fireball, and is thought to have been unsurvivable. The impact area was located near a field close to the Eastern Iowa Industrial Center in northern Davenport. Rain and inclement weather had been in the area earlier, but conditions had improved enough to allow the show to begin. The Hopper's jet team is known most particularly for its outreach to kids. According to the team website, quote, "The key to our mission is interacting with the kids at air shows. Our goal is for kids to gain an appreciation of what these jets are all about, and to walk away thinking, I could do that too. All I have to do is work hard in school and think big," end quote. The Hopper's jet team is reportedly made up of as many as 5 aircraft, but reports indicate there were only 3 in the air in Iowa. The president of the Allied Pilots Association, which represents the pilots flying for American Airlines, says that both the union and the airline would be better off if a deal was struck between the two parties instead of allowing a judge to throw out the existing contract as part of the company's bankruptcy proceedings. That may be difficult, though, because the two sides are not talking. The Wall Street Journal reports that APA President Keith Wilson noted recently that all of the other unions representing AMR Corporation workers have reached agreements with the airlines, making some concessions, but giving them slightly better deals than the airlines' original offers. American has made some modifications to its proposal to throw out the pilots' contract wholesale and impose new terms unilaterally on the union. Judge Sean Lane rejected a similar proposal in mid-August because of 2 specific items which American has addressed in its latest motion. A hearing is now scheduled for tomorrow. As Congressman Ron Paul, Republican of Texas, was getting ready to depart from Clearwater, Florida, in a private airplane on Wednesday, he was reportedly detained by as many as 8 TSA agents who blocked him from boarding the plane and taking off. The congressman, his family, and the pilot were all questioned by the agents, and the plane was searched, according to a report appearing in the Washington Times. While the TSA agents did not specifically say why they were detaining the congressman and his party, they said GOP presidential nominee Mitt Romney, quote, might be nearby, end quote. The paper reports that TSA questioned the pilot's credentials and insisted the plane be swept for explosives. The passengers were also searched, but Congressman Paul's wife, Carol, who has a pacemaker, refused to submit to a search, An aide began recording the event, and they were finally allowed to go on their way. Paul has been a vocal critic of TSA. As a candidate for president, he pledged to end the TSA. He also sponsored the American Traveler Dignity Act, which, among other things, would prevent TSA from performing invasive pat-downs. Ron Paul's son, Rand Paul, a U.S. senator from Kentucky, has introduced legislation that would replace TSA with private screeners and establish a passenger's Bill of Rights. A new product for the floatplane industry has been introduced by Hull Speed Performance Marine Coatings, called Float Speed. The new coating is designed for marine and amphibious floatplane applications, and the company says it combines drag reduction and pro-environment properties to improve the performance of seaplane floats. Float Speed is a water-based epoxy silicone chemistry that is eco-friendly and easily applied in one day with roll or spray equipment. Similar to the texture and aerodynamics of a golf ball, Float Speed's modular surface is said to create ideal surface release and drag reduction for improved hydrodynamic performance. When Aero News continues, this balloon ride ended with an aquatic tow. We just enjoyed a blue moon, but a blue Saturn, and honoring a World War II vet and welcoming home another.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Monday, September the 3rd. I'm Glenn Moyer. A hot air balloon with 15 passengers on board launched Saturday for what was supposed to be a scenic flight over the St. Croix River in Minnesota. All was going according to plan until Mother Nature decided to give up the ghost. In other words, the balloon stalled over the river in calm winds. According to a report from KSMP-TV, the pilot called 911, and fortunately, a Washington County Sheriff's Patrol boat was already on the river. The pilot simply tossed his drop line to the boat, and the aircraft was safely towed to shore. No one was injured, and the balloon tour company reportedly makes these flights over the river regularly. This time, they simply ran out of wind. Posing for portraits for NASA's Cassini spacecraft, Saturn and its largest moon, Titan, show spectacular colors in a quartet of images released by NASA last week. One image captures the changing hues of Saturn's northern and southern hemispheres as they pass from one season to the next. A wide-angle view captures Titan passing in front of Saturn, as well as the planet's changing colors. Upon Cassini's arrival at Saturn 8 years ago, Saturn's northern winter hemisphere was an azure blue. Now that winter is encroaching on the planet's southern hemisphere and summer on the north, the color scheme is reversing. Blue is tinting the southern atmosphere and is fading from the north. Family, friends, senior leaders, and pilots gathered August 24th to honor a World War II B-17 Flying Fortress pilot at an award ceremony at Joint Base San Antonio Randolph, Texas, where he was awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross Medal. Second Lieutenant Samuel Smith was assigned to the 360th Bombardment Squadron at RAF Molesworth in England during the Second World War. He flew 24 bombing missions over Nazi Germany, one of which earned him the DFC nearly 70 years later. Smith was awarded for his piloting prowess while landing a crippled B-17 upon returning from a mission to Hopston, Germany on March 1, 1945. The B-17's undercarriage and landing gear were damaged by anti-aircraft fire, but somehow Smith was able to make a hard right turn upon landing in order to clear the runway for other approaching aircraft following his, thus saving the lives of his own crew members and those in the following bombers. And the remains of Army Air Force's 1st Lieutenant Harry W. Eck of Minot Ward, North Dakota, missing in action from World War II, have been identified and returned to his family for burial with full military honors. That, according to the Department of Defense POW Missing Personnel Office. Eck and seven others were lost on a mission over Germany flying a B-17G on September 13, 1944. The men were originally buried in Neustadt, Germany. In 1991, a German national who was digging a grave in that cemetery discovered a metal U.S. military identification tag and notified officials. But due to German burial law, access wasn't granted to the site until 2007. The team recovered human remains and additional metal identification tags from three of the crew members. To identify X remains, scientists from the JPAC used forensic identification tools and circumstantial evidence, including dental comparisons. Of the 16 million Americans who served in World War II, more than 400,000 died. At the end of the war, the U.S. government was unable to recover and identify approximately 79,000 Americans. Today, more than 73,000 are still unaccounted for from that conflict. Well, it's become an annual feature of AeroNews.net, and it's almost time to do it again. Each year, after our wall-to-wall coverage of AirVenture in Oshkosh, we take a little time to catch up on some sleep, eat a few real sit-down meals, and then reflect on the good, the bad, and the ugly that was AirVenture. It's a package we call the Best and Worst of Oshkosh Awards. But before we share our thoughts with you, we want to give you some time to weigh in as well. For those of you who went to Oshkosh or who followed ANN's extensive coverage via the Aero News news page or our Aerocast audio programs here or any of our Aero TV offerings, including our live airborne programming, we want to know what got your attention, good and bad. What got your interest? What worried you? What did you find hopeful or intriguing? And what drove you just plain old nuts? You get the idea. If you need a refresher course, you can log on to our website, www.aero-news.net, and review last year's comments. Then, send us your own. We'd like to have your comments by September the 12th. We'll be publishing the results soon thereafter. You can send your comments to news-spy@aero-news.net. Once again, that's news-spy@aero-news.net. That's our report for Monday, September the 3rd. Remember, you don't have to wait for a best or worst award. You can drop me a note here anytime at gmoyer@aero-news.net. But please be kind. My ego bruises easily. Thanks for listening, folks. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.